The news radio. Emotions high in Washington as Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords formally resigns. House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi.
Giffords brought to Washington and the Capitol the views of a new generation of national leader. From this floor, she has spoken out courageously.
Republican Congressman Ben Quayle, meanwhile, a bit skeptical about the president's trip to Chandler today to talk about jobs.
I actually thought that maybe he was going to be dropping off another federal lawsuit against the state of Arizona, because that seems to be what the Obama administration is all about.
In Chandler, two police officers treated for smoke inhalation. Residents were alerted about a fire at an apartment complex. A 63-year-old Yuma man arrested for aggravated assault, allegedly holding his elderly mother at gunpoint.
You know, sometimes these situations or these types of situations can last, you know, hours.
Chandler police investigate shooting death of a 72-year-old suicidal man.
The officers made a couple of verbal commands. They drew their weapons out.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic, a service of the 99 Cent Only Store. Look for a wreck, Pecos Road at McQueen. Also another accident, Pinnacle Peak Road north of Pima. We have an accident on the on-ramp westbound I-10 at 7th Street and another wreck, 51st Avenue north of Glendale. Score a touchdown of savings. 99 Cent Only Store says chips, salsas, pretzels, and beverages for only 99.99 cents each. Save more. Shop the 99 Cent Only Stores first for everything. Here's your Wednesday afternoon forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Gorgeous weather now throughout the rest of the work week. Tomorrow and Friday, mid-70s. That's above normal for this time of January. Low 70s into our weekend. Overnight lows near 50. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Thank you, Jimmy. KFNX News Time is 4:05. Currently here in Midtown, we're at 69 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. Up next, Legalese with your host, Dennis Willinchek.
On my journey to help save people money on car insurance, I've learned that being on the road is not without its hardships. Bad weather, blisters, feelings of homesickness. But seeing the looks on people's faces when I tell them how much they could save by switching to Geico makes it all worthwhile. Well, that and those little free bottles of lotions and shampoos from all the hotels. Seriously, I've got about 50 bottles now.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
With the price of stamps increasing, sending mail was getting more and more expensive. So in order to save some money, I've trained this crew of carrier pigeons to deliver my mail for me. Do they always get it right? Nope. Do my letters make it on time? That would be nope. Do they sometimes get lost? You got that one right. But who has two thumbs and isn't buying stamps? This guy, that's who.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
What is going on with the education in America?
The president felt we couldn't afford the money for an education program.
Bueller.
Incorrect.
Bueller.
Did you get your degree on the internet?
Bueller.
Let me see your diploma.
We sent him to school this morning, a fine, strapping boy. And tonight he came home looking like a rather ugly girl.
Bueller.
Welcome to Legalese. This is Jack Willinchek along with Dennis Willinchek. Dennis Willinchek, your regular host, is so thoroughly exhausted today from his hard work as an attorney. Although he is in studio, I'm gonna be taking the lead here. today we're gonna be talking about there was a report in the Arizona Republic a week ago, and I know that President Obama's speech last night had a certain focus on education. Arizona, according to a recent report, is number 44 in the country. So we've got Andrew Lefevre. You know, I knew a guy in high school named Andy Lefevre, so I keep wanting to say Andy Lefevre. Andrew Lefevre, spokesperson for the Arizona Department of Education, in studio here. And on the line we've got Dr. Michael Block, who's the director of Basis Charter Schools. And also on the line, Nate Sato, who's manager of training and recruiting for Fry's Supermarkets. So let's start with you, Mr. Lefevre. You're the spokesperson for the Arizona Department of Education, so maybe you can give us an overview on what the Arizona Department of Education does. Obviously, it's a state agency or a state department. Let us know what you do.
Well, yeah, the State Department of Education is responsible for implementing and really being the implementation body for the State Board of Education and the legislature. So they create the education policy for the state. The department oversees that and really main responsibilities are financial and fiscal in nature, making sure money is getting to the states, to the schools for their students, making sure that that money is being used appropriately, making sure that we have proper staff on hand to help them develop curriculum and standards, and making sure they're doing that, and really working with the local districts. Arizona is a local control state in the sense that the legislature has a long history of wanting decisions to be made at the most local level possible whenever they can. So the department doesn't have a lot of oversight here in Arizona like other states do. So we're really there to be a good partner for the local districts whenever possible. And that's certainly something that Superintendent Hubenthal is a strong believer of. When he was Senate Education Chairman, one of the first things he did when he took office was go in and take dozens of shalls out of or mays out of the education code that were really forcing local districts to do things and allowing them to have the flexibility and control to make those decisions. So, you know, it's a system that that creates some challenges, but it's also the system that we have here in Arizona. And the superintendent and the Department of Education is here to, you know, do whatever we can to support schools and districts and teachers in the classroom to make sure that they're able to provide an excellent education for our students.
Let me ask you a question about that. Your boss, Senator Hubenthal, today, as I understand it, is with the president. Is that right?
He did get an invitation to attend the president's tour of the Intel plant, so he is there with him today.
And what's he doing there?
Well, he and Mr. Barrett from Intel are currently co-chairing the Governor's Education Council. So I'm sure, again, education is a huge issue for everybody all across the country, not only here in Arizona, but, you know, the nation seems to be languishing compared to our national or international counterparts. So one of the things that the superintendent did when he got elected was, you know, he came into office and he said, you know, I'm on a constant quest to go out and find in our local schools and our local districts programs that are working, that seem to be providing, you know, educational benefits for the students. And it's going to be my mission while I'm in this office to see if I can replicate those. So if I got a program that one teacher's doing in a classroom that really seems to be working, well, let's get it working in a couple classrooms in that school. If it keeps working, let's do it in the whole school. Let's get it out to the district. Let's blow it statewide. So he is in a constant state of looking for those programs. And, you know, part of that is, you know, looking and talking to our business leaders, what are they not getting out of with their employees when they're coming in the door? You know, so what do we have to do to kind of make that gap up from where our students are now to where they really need to be college and career ready, which is the new focus of what we're doing. We want our students to be able to leave high school in 12th grade ready to enter a job and be productive and ready to go, or ready to enter college and do well in those freshman year classes.
Yeah, on that same note, we do have Nate Sato, who is the manager of training and recruiting for Fry's Supermarkets. Are you on the line, Mr. Sato?
Yes, indeed.
You'd be the person to talk to about that, or one of many businesses that hires people straight out of high school into entry-level kind of jobs. What's your take on the state of education in Arizona? Is this an issue that you see? Are you regularly having issues with the education level of people who come to work at Fry's?
Well, we have varying education levels, obviously, entering our workforce. But, you know, we take a stance of being able to offer our associates multiple training programs as well as scholarship opportunities and tuition reimbursement to try to counteract the opportunities that come in those varying education levels. So we offer Kroger scholarships through our parent company, as well as we offer scholarships through the AFMA program through the Arizona Food Marketing Alliance. And we also have internal training programs for both entry level all the way through multiple management levels. So we try to counteract that by giving a variety of opportunities for our associates to learn and grow.
As far as Arizona stacks up against other states, Have you seen any particular issues with Arizona graduates?
I can't really speak on that too much. I mean, we have candidates that come in. We post positions, on our Career Builder website, and we get applicants from other states. And we can say that, you know, in the retail grocery market and the wide variety of positions that we have and skill levels that are required for them, we can really find a skill set that is suitable for any of those positions and utilize those people to their full potential.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. I listened to the president's speech last night. It sounded to me to try to distill it that he's saying that America needs to compete in the world marketplace with qualified people, whether college graduates or not. They need to be skilled And we're not doing that, basically. And what he suggested is to take some of the money out of the budget now, based on the fact that we're not fighting in Iraq anymore, put half of it into education, and also to shift to the states a lot of the expense of education. Anyway, he went on and on. I don't know if you guys listened to his speech last night. I was curious for your takes on it, if you had. And in general, in that regard, I wanted to know why Arizona ranks so low on the scale at 44 out of 50 states.
Well, I could address the report if I could. It was a report called Quality Counts by a group out of D.C. And, you know, as somebody who used to work in D.C. and who used to put out national reports, I'm well aware that states often take them with a grain of salt, you know, even a bag of salt sometimes. And the thing about this report that you really have to keep in mind if you take a look at it is the ranking is very unscientific in its basis of what they look at to rank us on education and quality. So, you know, the thing we've got with this report is, you know, on the areas of education that the state actually has some authority and control over, like standards and assessment, Arizona got a B-plus for a grade. But a lot of the things that they look at, like, you know, family income, parent education, linguistic integration, you know, parental income, annual income, things like that, we as a state, especially as the State Department of Education, we have no control over that. So it doesn't surprise me that Massachusetts scored first in a lot of those categories. So, you know, again, to kind of lump all of that into an education ranking, to me, doesn't really hit the mark. I think Arizona does a good job in the areas that we do that have control over and do a good job of. But, you know, holding us responsible for whether a family has, you know, a high income or something isn't necessarily something that a State Department of Education or the state itself should be held responsible for.
Yeah.
Well, with the rest of the show, I think we're going to be talking a lot about what we can do, what the State Department of Education can do, and what even, I guess, private schools or charter schools can do. We'll get to other guests, who's Dr. Michael Block, Director of Basis Charter Schools, the next segment. But we do have to take a break here. So this is Jack Wilenchek along with Dennis Wilenchek on Legalese KFNX 1100 AM.
Don't miss a minute. Tune in for Arizona Wildcats basketball on KFNX.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wilenchek & Bartness have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wilenchek & Bartness focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wilenchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Hi, folks. It's Dean Barber, host of America's Wealth Management Show. When it comes to financial programs, there are plenty to choose from. So what makes our show different? We don't talk about products like the latest and greatest mutual funds, the can't-miss annuities, or the hottest stocks you should purchase. We're dedicated to educating you on important topics like tax reduction strategies, when to take your Social Security, estate planning, and finding a financial advisor and not a financial salesman. It's America's Wealth Management Show every Saturday afternoon at 2 here on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
Attention women business owners looking for strategies to grow your business and build professional relationships with other successful women? Then we invite you to join the Phoenix chapter of the National Association of Women Business Owners. NABO is one of the 5 most influential organizations in the Valley, according to the Business Journal. We offer many networking opportunities, business education seminars, and a nationally recognized mentoring program. For more info, go to nawbophx.org or call 602-772-4985. That's 602-772-4985.
Are you interested in a consultation with Dr. Kondrat or one of his 3-day programs? His 3-day program is the best way to help you regain your vision loss. This comprehensive program includes an extensive diagnosis based on homeopathic principles, daily lectures on the essentials to improve your vision, and 3 days of intensive treatments. Take this important step now. Call 1-800-430-9328 to learn more about this special program. His 3-day program is the best way to help you regain your vision loss. Call 1-800-430-9328.
Lou Dobbs, afternoons at 1 on KFNX.
A break in the rocks in the hospital. I fought the law in the law.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is Jack Wilenchek along with Dennis Wilenchek. And on today's show, we're talking about the, I wanted to say the sad state of education, but already in the first segment, we've heard some disputes some issues that the Department of Education takes with the ranking of Arizona as number 44 in the country for education.
Well, actually, Jack, you know, it sounds like from the information we have that actually they rank – I could be wrong on this, but they rank it like on an A through D kind of basis. Is that right?
Like yes, that's correct.
That's kind of how they do it. And it sounds like Arizona got a C minus, which doesn't sound good. The best ranked state, I think it was actually Maryland, and maybe Massachusetts was up there too, scored a B plus, but no state apparently ranked an A at all. And, you know, the rankings appear to be determined by current achievement, improvements over time, poverty-based disparities, standards, assessment, school accountability. So I think Andrew's point is that, you know, it's not necessarily the Arizona schools are bad. Some of these other, you know, determinations that are made based on things that you can't really do much about. And even if you throw money at the problem, you're saying it doesn't necessarily solve the problem.
Yeah, and the other interesting thing is, you know, looking at us internationally, I mean, even, you know, even Massachusetts, Maryland, the states that rank high up there aren't necessarily top of the line when you look at us internationally. It's interesting when you look at the TIMSS study, which looks at, you know, how our students score on science and mathematics and technology kind of stuff. And you, when you look at our third and fourth graders, they actually score pretty well internationally. But as you retest them in eighth grade and 12th grade, they really start dropping down the scale. So, you know, to me, that just means we've got a system in place that does good for some kids, not good for some kids. And we really need to start looking, as you know, the superintendent's doing, is, you know, we got to start looking at how we're delivering education in our classrooms. Are we, you know, now that we're into a technology age, or is there new technologies that are coming online that are going to be helpful in helping our kids learn? You know, do we need to look at different models? And that's one of the great things about Arizona is, you know, we talk about decisions being made on the most local level possible. To me, that's always at the parent level. And we have so many options for parents in Arizona. I mean, they can send their kid to just about any public school. It doesn't have to be the one down the block. It can be down the street. We've got charter schools.
Lots
of great stuff that parents can really go out and find, you know, what's the education that's going to best meet the needs of my child? And to me, that's the powerful force. When you can find a school that's going to help that particular child learn, that's when we're going to start to see dramatic results.
You were saying that off the air, and I know our guest last week, State Treasurer Doug Ducey, was saying the same thing. The solution isn't just throwing money at it. It's being smarter about it. It's about innovation. And with that, I want to bring our other guests into the conversation here, Dr. Michael Block, the Director of BASIS Charter Schools. Dr. Block, are you with us?
I'm with you, and glad to join the conversation. I think the last part of the conversation provides a pretty good taste to what we do. I'm the co-founder of BASIS Schools. It's now a network of schools, at this point entirely inside Arizona. It was the six schools with three more under construction. And our flagship school is BASIS Tucson, which is our first school. And it's nationally ranked among the best college prep schools in the United States, and number two recently in U.S. News in STEM education in the United States, ahead of a lot of the schools on the East Coast. And it was originally formed in 1998. We had 58 students when we started, but the idea was to produce college preparation, middle and high school education, at the levels of the best practice internationally. And I think we've managed to do that, and in the process showed that in Arizona, even at modest budget, you can actually produce spectacular education. And I think that anyone who has contact basis schools realizes that these are schools separate and apart from other college prep schools. And we've done it on this, I think in many respects, we've done it on fumes. Now is
you know, I actually went to a charter school for a couple of years when I was younger. By the way, doctor, are you on a speakerphone?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, we're having some problem with the reception on your, are you in a cell or something? Because it's hard to hear you.
No, I'm not. Maybe just a bad phone.
Yeah,
I think so. I went to a charter school for a couple of years when I was younger. It might help to explain for our audience what a charter school is. Explain to them what a charter school is.
Sure. A charter school is essentially, I like to summarize it, is it's a privately operated public school. So we have a contract with the state for providing education of a particular variety called public education, which means really that it's open to everybody and meets the minimum standards of the public school system, and provides all of the required public services in a school setting. But it's privately produced. So essentially it's a private organization that really runs the school. There's an extremely high level of accountability, and 40 states have charter schools now. And Arizona is about the best charter laws for a charter operator as novel as this is school. So Arizona really was early adopter and a very good charter law. We're looking to establish schools all over the country, and Arizona really is far and away the best charter law for charter operators to work if you want
to
produce.
It's not a new thing.
This extremely.
It's not a new thing, the charter school concept or the charter laws in Arizona. They've been around for a while, right?
No, it's not new. It's about 15 or 16 years old.
Yeah.
So what do you guys do differently than the other guys that make it better? I mean, that's what we're trying to find out. Why is America, at this point, compared to a lot of foreign nation and foreign industrial nations, lagging behind? Why is Arizona actually falling down from what I can show? Notwithstanding what was said earlier by Andrew, it sounded to me from my research and my producer's research that basically Arizona went down last year, not up. Is that accurate? I mean, why is this happening?
I don't – down in the same report?
Well, same report, yeah.
Well, again, I mean, look at the economy. Arizona was such a hard-hit economic state that, you know, all the factors that are being put in there with income levels and things like that, it wouldn't shock me that we – maybe dropped relative to other states across the nation. But, I mean, the great thing about charter schools, what it does is it is a public school, but since they enter into that charter agreement with the state, the agreement or the benefit they get out on that on the other side is a lot more control over what goes on in that school, a lot more control over hiring and firing of teachers, a lot more control over curriculum.
Let me stop you and ask you, though, is there a correlation that we found over the years that charter schools have been around to show that there's some kind of elevation in their – rankings, if you will, or their, what they produce in terms of students over the public schools?
I think that there is a recent study where the average among charter schools in Arizona is higher than the traditional schools. Probably the most powerful thing that's been charter schools is they enable parents who want to pick really high-level academics to pick that and to get away from the major school districts, which constrain somewhat their options. So they really do provide options for parents. Arizona has among the best charter schools, a group of charter schools which are among the best in the nation. I mean, there are a dozen charter schools in Arizona.
Do most of the graduates from these charter schools go to college? Do most of the
graduates 100% go to college?
All right. Well, let me turn to Nate Sato. Are you still with us from Fry's?
Yes, sir.
As a large employer, what do you see of young people coming out? I think Jack was going at this earlier, but I want to repeat. Do you see the level of people coming out of schools in Arizona as being, the type of person that's coming out now as being qualified? Are they competent?
I said earlier, I believe we have, we have a special industry where we have a lot of varying different types of positions that really we can bring people in at an entry level on varying education levels and with opportunities to be able to develop them for what our company needs are.
But, I mean, in terms of basic skills, they have to know some math no matter what they do, even if they're a person checking out groceries, right?
Correct. And I believe the biggest opportunity that we see really from the new generation coming into workforce is their social skills and being able to have customer interaction, interfacing with their management. That really seems to be the biggest opportunity.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess that is a good point, while we're on that, social skills. And I don't know what Arizona schools are doing to train people to enter the real world. That's a great point. Other than teaching, math and science and so forth, the reality is a lot of these people have to deal with people, and I don't know what we do in that regard, if there's any classes that train people for that. It's an interesting point. I hadn't really thought about it. Are there any classes?
Well, one of the programs that Arizona has, very, very strong program. You know, other states have it, but Arizona, I think, is really considered a national leader is our career and technical education things. You know, we have the joint technical education districts and schools like the like East Valley Institute of Technology all around the state that really bring these students and take them, you know, out of the traditional classroom and put them into a system where they're actually learning about a job that they might go to when they graduate. And it's really a remarkable thing when a student can see that what they're learning actually translates over into a job skill or something that they might use later in life. Yeah. It really, you know, it crystallizes that for them and really helps them understand it. And, you know, we have a higher graduation rate for students who are participating in career and technical education classes. They're doing better on the AIMS test. So, you know, really that's one of the things I know the superintendent is very big on is, you know, how can we promote those kind of programs so that more students have the ability to go and take, you know, it doesn't have to be their whole career, but, you know, at least one or two of those classes so that they can really get that what it means.
All right. We've got to take a break here. But we're talking to Andrew Lefevre, who's a spokesperson for the Arizona Department of Education, as well as Dr. Michael Block, the director of Basis Charter Schools, and Nate Sato, the manager of training and recruiting at Fry's Supermarkets, about the state of education in Arizona. This is Jack Wilinchek and Dennis Wilinchek on KFNX 1100 AM. And we've got another moment here. I apologize. I think it was a minor miscommunication with with the board operator. But so before we go to the break, okay, there's the break. So there we go, Chet. Thank you. All right, this is Jack Wilinchek and Dennis Wilinchek on KFNX 1100 AM.
CNN Radio, I'm Edgar Trakitz. The Federal Reserve says the economy is improving, but not enough to warrant higher interest rates. CNN's Felicia Taylor has details.
The Federal Reserve left rates unchanged Wednesday, and they're likely to stay that way until at least late 2014. Fed officials also say the employment situation has shown further signs of improvement, but strains on global financial markets still pose a significant risk to the overall economy.
President Obama's pushing his message points about getting the economy back on track following his State of the Union address last night. He began a three-day tour of key election battleground states today with stops in Iowa and Arizona. It's 6 days away from Florida's GOP presidential primary, and it's a virtual tie between Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich. That's according to the latest CNN Time ORC International poll. From Hollywood, a spokesperson for Demi Moore says the actress is getting treatment for exhaustion and that she's dropped out of a movie project. This is CNN Radio.
You have teams in Tucson, Tennessee.
Arizona News Radio. Emotions high in Washington as Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords formally resigns. House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi.
Giffords brought to Washington and the Capitol the views of a new generation of national leader. From this floor, she has spoken out courageously.
Republican Congressman Ben Quayle, meanwhile, a bit skeptical about the president's trip to Chandler today to talk about jobs.
I actually thought that maybe he was going to be dropping off another federal lawsuit against the state of Arizona, because that seems to be what the Obama administration is all about.
In Chandler, two police officers treated for smoke inhalation. Residents were alerted about a fire at an apartment complex. A 63-year-old Yuma man arrested for aggravated assault, allegedly holding his elderly mother at gunpoint. Point.
You know, sometimes these situations or these types of situations can last, you know, hours.
Chandler police investigate shooting death of a 72-year-old suicidal man.
The officers made a couple of verbal commands. They drew their weapons out.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic, a service of 5-Hour Energy. Look for an accident, Pecos at McDowell. Also, we have another wreck, Pinnacle Peak Road at North Pima, and another accident, 51st Avenue, Glendale and Gang. President Obama's in the Southeast Valley. He's at Chandler Boulevard and Dobson in the Ocotillo area. Now, he's going to have floating roadblocks, so be aware of that all the way to the freeway. You know that 230 feeling. You've hit the wall, but you got to get stuff done. That's the time for 5-Hour Energy. 5-Hour Energy when you got to get stuff done. Here's your Wednesday afternoon forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Gorgeous weather now throughout the rest of the work week. Tomorrow and Friday, mid-70s. That's above normal for this time of January. Low 70s into our weekend. Overnight lows near 50. Jim Howe, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Thank you, Jimmy. Currently, we are at 69 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Partners have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Partners focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Partners today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
I have the answer. Call me for this link and you will call me back. I have the answer. Who was the dynamic leader that history tells us that when he went to meet his maker, that his eyes were not dim nor his vigor abated? I have the answer. I urge you, choose science and not celebrities in your pursuit of an active lifestyle well beyond statistical predictions. I have the answer. Is your energy level low and your health insurance costs high? I have the answer. Tired of buying grocery store produce from third world countries that have been sprayed with who knows what? I have the answer. I have nutrient dense, locally grown produce, and so much more. It costs a few bucks, but it's worth $1 million. Charisma culture is our name, and applying gifts is our game. I have the answer. 602-762-2601. 602-762-2601. 602-762-2601.
Bottoms Up, cocktail radio at its finest. Bottoms Up with Jennifer English every Friday at 7 p.m.
Here's a recipe for one of my very favorites. It's a classic Mai Tai cocktail invented by Trader Vic Bergeron back in the 1930s at his famous Hollywood eatery, Trader Vic's. Martinis are making a comeback. Do you know how to make a good martini? How about a perfect martini?
Bottoms Up, cocktail radio at its finest. Bottoms Up with Jennifer English every Friday at 7 p.m.
Freedom. You have the right to remain silent. That's what I want. If you give up the right to remain silent, freedom. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. Freedom. You have the right to speak with an attorney.
Get me my lawyer! Freedom.
And to have the attorney present during questioning. If you so desire and cannot afford one, an attorney will be appointed for you without charge before questioning.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is Jack Willinchek, along with Dennis Willinchek. And that's our very talented board operator, Chet Reynolds.
That wasn't him actually saying that, but he's humiliated enough by that.
We're both, no. All right, we've got, today on the show we're talking about the state of education in Arizona. We've got a spokesperson for the Arizona Department of Education, Andrew Lefevre, as well as Dr. Michael Block on the line, who's the director of Basis Charter Schools, and Nate Sato, manager of training and recruiting at Fry Supermarkets, to give us the take of businesses on this issue.
And the issue is, Jack, I mean, why is Arizona ranking so low? And Andrew has explained some of that it's not necessarily as bad as it looks. But even internationally, listening to the president last night, are we competing with other nations in terms of our education system? Are we just repeating the sins of the past and going through the motions and training people for things that are useless and irrelevant? Or is there any creativity going on out there to figure out, you know, how do we do a better job on this and compete better? And I guess what I want to know is from each of the guests, one by one, if you don't mind, if you had a perfect world, what would you do to change the state of our education system right now? If you had a magic wand, what would be your highest priority? And frankly, from the state's point of view, what is your highest priority over the next year in terms of that?
Well, go ahead, sir.
Let me jump in. It's Michael Block from Basis Schools. And this is to the point, but also it's something that the state is doing on a small scale, which could be done on a larger scale, which addresses the sort of the international competitive problem, and it's one of the programs that we're involved in. But the state is involved in this experiment called Move On When Ready, which involves having two diplomas, a Grand Canyon diploma and a normal diploma. And the idea would be to allow students to leave school at age 16, and although we're not part of this part of the program because we're college prep, I think it's really a very good idea because the idea would be to replace the current kind of haphazard system with a series of examinations that 16-year-olds would take. And if they passed these exams, they would then be able to go on to junior college without any further testing, or they could go into a job training program, or they could go to work. But they'd be much better educated, and the exams that they're talking about are internationally benchmark exams, like the University of Cambridge systems. And that seems to me a basic improvement that we could make. I mean, if we can raise the level of all exits from the system, we'd be in much better shape. And I think setting reasonably high standards and enforcing those would go a long way. And having a meaningful exit exam, both at 16 and at 18, we're part of the 18-year-old exit exam, but there's also a 16-year-old exit. That seems to me to be something we've started in Arizona now and just move on when ready, and could be expanded. There are only a few schools who are participating, but it is the beginnings of a reform that has the hope of raising literacy levels, bringing us up to international standards, and recognizing that some students want to leave and not go to four-year colleges, and others want to stay around and go to competitive colleges. So I think that's a reform which is actually underway, and we could do something. It's very small, needs much more attention, needs more publicity. Probably no one knows much about it, actually.
Just saying there's schools where you can graduate at the age of 16, even here in Arizona.
Yeah, there are now several schools in that program. We're in the 18-year-old program, but there are several schools who are in the 16-year-old graduation program, and you can graduate with something called the Grand Canyon Diploma, not a full diploma. As you know, it doesn't give you exactly the same requirements or require the same thing that a normal degree does, but it enables the kids to leave and get on to, you know, technical education or even to work.
What I'm trying to find out,
the exam levels that, if I could finish for a moment,
yeah,
the exam levels and skill levels that they have to pass for that are much higher than the AIMS exams now. So that gives the students an incentive to do well on this because they can get out earlier for those students who want to, and they're well educated.
Well, I guess what I'm trying to find out is who determines, for example, and why do they determine it, that these courses that you point out, that the Grand Canyon graduate, for example, would not get a full diploma because he's not completing all of the courses that are required. Who determines that these are all required, and why are they required? That's my point. If you have a kid who's 16 years old, knows exactly what they want to do, knows exactly what they're planning and doing with their life and career, and is that focused, why do they have to take a bunch of courses that are probably unnecessary for them to take, have no meaning to them, and are probably not relevant to them? That's what I'm trying to understand. Can we be maybe more creative than just, you know, we have been over the last 60, 80 years and saying, well, this is just, you know, you got to take these required courses for no reason at all, but everybody else is taking them, so you got to take them too. That's what I'm trying to understand. Who sets these parameters and why do we set them? And why don't we look at this with a creative attitude in terms of competing in the current world, with the technological world we live in, and training these kids early in computer sciences, in programming computers, that kind of stuff that we know is now the reality of the world, as opposed to when I went to school and we were working with slide rules and so forth. You know, that's what I'm getting at. Where's the innovation going to come from? I understand that the charter schools are a great idea, but are you able, even in a charter school, to take your position, and are you able to have these kinds of innovative approaches and goals for kids who might be a little different, who might be a little smarter than the next kid who want to, you know, be a good doctor, and they know that when they're 16 and they want to get on with it?
Well, I think one of the
this program that I described is a little different than that. But
I know
we at BASIS actually have the ability to graduate students who fulfill all the requirements by the end of 11th grade, and 12th grade is voluntary. So that's a compromise. So, you know, at age 16 and a half, 17, they could actually graduate with a
BASIS
diploma.
I guess what I'm asking you all is, why are these requirements so sacrosanct? I mean, that's what I want to know.
Well, I think we go back to the fact that, you know, we have a system that, as you indicated, has been around, you know, in its current state for decades now. and is predicated upon this assumption that all kids learn at the same rate at the same time and move on. And again, you come back to technology and what that's going to mean for our world in general, but education specifically in the next. I think we're poised to see a huge shift in just educational thought over the next 10 to 15 years, because we now have computers that are small enough and powerful enough that can deliver, you know, differentiated instruction to students so that students can sit down and learn at their own pace. They can learn at their own time. You know, we've got online instruction here in Arizona so that you don't even have to be in the classroom anymore to specifically learn. And all of that is going to ultimately come down to exactly what you said. You're going to have a student that's moving further and faster than another student.
Right.
Let them get through the material and get out the door quicker if that's what they want.
Why does he have to sit in a classroom with a bunch of other people when he's being bored to death?
So, I mean, there's always going to be a place for a great teacher to help these students learn, but there's so much great technology coming online here soon that I think we're going to see, you know, that students being able to be kind of, you know,
that's
been a huge boon to the homeschool community is that technology that's available.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're seeing some great pilot programs being put in place around the state that are really looking at, you know, Carpe Diem, where kids spend part of the time in a classroom, part of the time sitting in front of the computer doing what they need for where they are right now. You know, great technology programs that are having kids do 250 math problems in an hour that are out there that the superintendent is really interested in promoting.
Well, see, I like what, you know, before we take our break, we've got about a minute. I love what the superintendent's doing today. I mean, he's out there at Intel. They're developing a new plan to do these, you know, high-tech chips. He's there with them because, to me, that means that he's looking to the future in the sense that he's looking, you know, how do we develop students in a real-world environment to go work at a plant like that and bring us into the 22nd century and make America, again, the great country it was innovation-wise and so forth, like Obama talked about last night. That's what I think we need, personally. I think we need innovation in education. It's just really we're going through the same plan and game plan that we've gone through for years without any forethought. So, anyway, having said that, we'll come back to that with our guests in a minute. This is Dennis Wolinchek and Jack Wolinchek, and we'll be back after these commercial messages talking about education in Arizona.
You'll feel psyched up, tuned in, turned on, and megawired for sound. What? Yeah, tune in to Healthy House Call as we discuss the secrets to wellness, longevity, and abundant energy. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. as we broadcast live and direct from Healthy Habit Health Food Store.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wolinchek & Partners have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wolinchek & Partners focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wolinchek & Partners today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
I'm Scott Carter, CEO of Goldline, and I'm here with Todd Eink, who, like many of our Goldline clients, diversify their portfolio with gold and silver. Todd, tell us why you started investing in precious metals.
Well, Scott, I've owned several successful businesses with much of the proceeds vested solely in stock and real estate. I felt the need to search for other means of diversifying my portfolio.
How did you find Goldline?
I researched the marketplace and decided to call Goldline based on its credibility and reputation.
Goldline is a solid company with a 50-year track record of helping clients like Todd.
I have a very broad portfolio of stocks, real estate, and precious metals. With everything I've built professionally, I believe gold offers diversity for me and my family.
Todd's Goldline story is just one of thousands across the country. Call Goldline today and learn how gold can be a part of your future and your family's future.
Learn more about Todd's story at goldline.com or call 1-800-661-7309 for your free investor kit. That's 1-800-661-7309.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is Jack Wolinchek along with Dennis Wolinchek. And today on the show, we're talking about the state of education in Arizona. Our guests are Andrew Lefevre, who is a spokesperson for the Arizona Department of Education, as well as Dr. Michael Block, the director of Basis Charter Schools, and Nate Sato, who is the manager of training and recruiting for Fry's Supermarkets. You know, we were talking a lot about technical education. I know, Mr. Sato, you mentioned earlier that Fry's does some of that for the entry-level people. Why don't you let us know a little bit of what Fry's does along those lines, what technical education that they provide?
Well,
as we bring new hire associates on, you know, regardless of the level, we start everybody off with a core curriculum of classes to introduce them, obviously, to our company and introduce them to the various technologies that we use and platforms and computer programs that we use as well throughout the store, whether that be basic programs on our registers. You know, we have training programs that we constantly use online that they can go on to at any point to be able to utilize those and advance themselves with company education, as well as gaining other tools such as leadership skills and communication skills. So we aim, again, like I said, you know, one of the things that we have the biggest opportunity with in our workforce and the people that we see coming in is on the social aspect. And being really able to talk to our customer level, and again, that interface with the management. And, you know, we really feel with the education and the way that it's headed now, and we were talking a lot about technology and how, you know, we can focus more on being able to get them a quicker education by using this technology. But at the same time, we go back to that social interface portion and communication. And we want to get back to some of the basics on, you know, reading, writing, and arithmetic, and really give them those core qualities and adjust their education to what the business market of today truly needs. You know, all businesses are using the buzzword engagement and speaking about that and how we want genuine interactions with customers and management and associates. And it's, you know, that's something that we have to work on and drive through our training courses because we're not always seeing that social ability coming in. The technical piece is something that's very easy for us to train on and adapt our workforce to hold up to those standards.
You know, on that same subject, we had a question over the break here about the social issues in public schools versus charter schools, you know, in terms of sex, drugs, crime. Is it any better in charter schools versus public schools? I think I'll turn to Michael Block on that one, Dr. Michael Block, Director of BASIS Charter Schools. Do you find that the charter setup has an effect on that? Is it better in terms of sex, drugs, and crime?
Well, you know, we have a small, because again, it's a college prep school, and it's very academic, but it is a better environment because they're smaller and the site managers know the students by name, and it's a much closer environment. So, by and large, they're better places for social conditions than larger schools. I mean, if you have a high school of 3,000, that's a big difference if you have a high school of 300.
Yeah.
Just the personal contact. The size of the school makes a difference in those social aspects. I think it makes it much easier to control. We have a zero tolerance attitude to drug use and behavioral problems, but schools, even with a more permissive environment, have less problems. Charters are less problematic generally on the social side.
Well, let's remember that, you know, charter schools are public schools, and we have you know, some really great charter schools centered and located right in some of our worst, you know, what you would consider, you know, poverty, crime-ridden neighborhoods that do a good job. And, you know, and I think part of that is the fact that they have a little more control over what goes on with their curriculum, with uniforms and things like that. But, you know, the social stuff is out there for all of our students to deal with nowadays. And, you know, it's something that, you know, to me, one of the other big differences is the fact that most of the charter schools are, to me, a little more inviting of parent involvement in the classroom. They want parents to be there. They want them to be involved in what's going on with the schools. And, you know, when a parent can have that direct contact with their teacher and their student on a regular basis, it builds that, you know, that trust and that bond there. And don't get me wrong, that happens a lot of times in our traditional public schools too. But in some of those neighborhoods, you know, those schools become kind of the building blocks of that neighborhood holding together.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because during college I worked at a preschool, and that's an observation that I had, is that the kids that were the best behaved, probably the best students too, had the parents that were the most engaged. So, you know, we're searching for the answer here to the Arizona's education problem. I think that's it. It comes down to the parents. You know, if you're not raising the kid, if you're not investing the time in their education as a parent, that's what it really comes back to. We were saying off the break, you know, you can throw money at the problem. That there's only so much that does. You know, you can rely on the schools, you know, to innovate. things like charter schools that we're talking about. There's only so much that does. In the end, it comes back to the parent. Would you agree with that?
But if you're talking about the parents, and you know you have a point, having charters or even smaller districts is a way for those parents who are currently engaged to escape systems that essentially, you know, put the same standards in place over thousands and thousands of students.
Can I ask you a question on that, Doctor? I meant to ask this all through the hour, and we're running short on time. You know, we've got this situation, for example, on that Latin American studies. I don't know all the details of it down in Tucson situation. You know what I'm talking about.
I know not very much about it.
Well, I'm going to ask Andrew about it, but you fit into it because my question really is there's been a lot of national attention, and I've seen John Hoopenthal on TV nationally on this made national news. About this, what was it, a history, a Latin American history course or Mexican American history course?
It was actually a whole program designed around Mexican American studies.
Now, my question is, though, that was curtailed, as I understand it, but could they, in a charter school scenario, have that same class, or they couldn't do that there either?
Well, it wasn't necessarily the program itself that was problematic. It was the way that the teachers were teaching the children the material in the class. And the superintendent did a months-long investigation and presented that information to an impartial administrative law judge who agreed with his decision that the way they were teaching that class or those classes and that material over the course starting in third grade through high school really presented the students with a skewed view of their role in the world, that they were, as Latinos, they were constantly being oppressed by Caucasians, and that therefore they were presenting, promoting racial resentment as a class of people and whatnot. And that's a whole hour of a show to go into that.
Yeah.
But so the superintendent is a strong believer in the fact that Arizona has a wide cultural diversity that we need to talk about. We need to talk about past injustices for sure, but in a way that presents a well-rounded view of all sides of the issue.
But I mean, if that group, my question was really in Michael Block's school. Could they teach that class because they say we're a charter school and you can't interfere with that?
They're still a public school, so they would still fall under the same state statutes. And again, we received numerous complaints in the department about the program. And
so a charter school can't just – that's what I'm trying to get to real quickly before we break. Why is a charter school any different then, really?
Schools can teach above the state standards, and, you know, that's important. And they can innovate in terms of the way they teach. You know, as has been pointed out, it's a public school and has to obey all of the laws about about, you know, not propagandizing in some obvious way, et cetera. I do want to go back before the close to the idea that smaller schools are better and smaller districts are better because parents get more choice, because those parents who care can exercise it. And eventually you can, in fact, increase the number of parents who care about education in a deeper way by giving them more control over what their students learn and involvement in the choice process. I think it's very important. I think that's a key, and Arizona has part of that, but maybe not enough of it. The more that you have in terms of choice, I think the more parent awareness you get, and in the end, one could say that we get the schools we, you know, want in the democratic society. So you really want not to impose the majority views of what we want on everybody, and that can people who care the most about education can break away.
So in the end, basically, we've got about 2 minutes here.
Example.
In the end, you're all in agreement that money's not the answer. It's smaller classes, more parent involvement. Sounds like what we're coming out with here, and some innovation.
I don't think smaller classes have very much to do with education above the third grade. I mean, there's no empirical evidence that classes between the size of 15 and 35 make any difference.
Yeah, I would agree. If you have
classes are something you get in private schools, you pay for it, that's fine. Yeah, but
I agree. I think if you have an excellent teacher, they can do a great job with a class of 10, 12, 25 sometimes. So I think what we need to be looking at here, at least from the state level, is how can we be providing the correct information to parents so that they can make the right choices for their children, and then how can we do the best job as a state department to make sure that, you know, districts and schools and teachers are being well supported in their classrooms so that they can focus all of their energy on their students to provide them with the great education that they deserve.
Okay.
Good way to say it.
All right. I want to thank all the guests we had on the show today. We have Andrew LaFever, spokesperson for the Arizona Department of Education, as well as Dr. Michael Block, director of Basis Charter Schools, and Nate Sato, manager of training and recruiting for Fry's Supermarkets. As always, this is Jack Wilenchek and Dennis Wilenchek on Legalese, KFNX 1100 AM.
Thank you.
American Lung Association, we're fighting for a day when we can all breathe easier. We're fighting for clear skies over every city and healthy lungs throughout the country. We're fighting to keep harmful secondhand smoke out of our public spaces and workplaces. And fighting to free millions of Americans from the addictive grip of tobacco and the devastating effects of lung disease. We're fighting for a day when kids no longer battle airborne poisons in their own homes or the fear of an asthma attack. The American Lung Association isn't just fighting for air, we're fighting for all the things that make it worth breathing, and we can use your help. Join us in the fight. Visit fightingforair.org and read about just a few of the many ways the American Lung Association is fighting to protect the air we breathe, both indoors and out. See what you can do at fightingforair.org.
You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, Cape Creek, Phoenix, the home of Lou Dobbs, weekdays at 1 p.m. on KFNX, KFNX News Time.